Good morning. Today's Daf Baba Kama Chaf Beis. We're starting this morning with the Mishnah on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis Hakelev VeHagidi. Dog and the goat. And so Niske Mamon has been the topic since the beginning of the Masechta. This is now week number four, the beginning of week number four. All right, 3 weeks already have been put in terms of understanding the basic liabilities that exist regarding your property that does damage. Property can be broken down into Eshbor and Shor, right? Three different categories. I know the first mission opened up with four main categories, but in terms of Niske Mamon, so basically we could break it down to three. That if your animal does property, if you make a pit in a Rishus Harabim, and if you start spreading a fire. Okay, today happens to be the day in which we really are going to give analysis to fire. How to understand, how to wrap our head around the liability of fire. That's coming up in today's daf. Today's daf is probably the most, or one of the most popular dafim here in the Masechta, as we're really going to try to give a conceptual analysis of what exactly is the liability of Eish. But first things first. Our mission over here is going to be talking about where your animal does damage via Shem Viragel. Okay, so we discussed this now at length. Yesterday's daf was an entire dedication discussion of Shem Viragel. So this mission is going to continue that trend. The mission is going to give a unusual scenario, but the point of the Mishnah is that when your animal does damage via Shem Viragel, so again, let's go back to what we already know. If done Berushus Rabim, you're going to be Pater. If done Berushus Anizik, you're going to be Chayev. Okay, let's begin with the Mishnah. Hakelev Agdi Shekapsa Merosh Agag. So what happened was is that your animal, either your dog, your goat, was on a rooftop, jumps off the rooftop, Vishavar Sekelim, and lands into somebody's property. Again, this is now going to be regel. So it has to be in somebody else's property. If it were in the street, you'd be potter. And Mishalim Nezek Shalom, Mibnei Shein Muadim. Okay, so your animal's jumping. Your animals are jumping all the time. This is Muad. And as a result of that, you, the owner of the animal, are going to be Chayv. This is Niske Mamon Classic. I say classic, by the way. Obviously, the Mishnah here is teaching us a Chiddush. Stay tuned as we get to the Gemara. We'll see what the Chiddush is. Hakel Shenato Charara. Now, your dog goes in and takes a cake, charara. And the cake itself was being baked right over coals. Now, v'halach l'gadish, v'achal charara, v'hidlik agadish. Now, your dog is a mazik, right? It is a significant, it's an agent of chaos. So your dog went ahead and ate the cake. Now, the cake was being baked right over coals, so that means that when it took the cake, there were a couple of embers on the cake. And so, in addition to your dog eating the cake, it also took those embers and brought it over to somebody else's haystack, burned the haystack. So now you, the owner of the dog, are going to be paying for the cake that was eaten and for the fire that was started by your dog. Now, how much are you paying? So al ha-charar mishalom nezek shalom va'al ha-gadish mishalom chatzi nezek. So on the cake, you're going to be paying nezek shalom, full damages. And on the eish, on the haystack that your dog lit on fire, you're going to be paying for chatzi nezek. You'll be paying for half damages. Okay, stay tuned. Better understood later this morning in terms of why it is that the full damages versus the half damages. Let's hold on the explanation. The Gemara is going to provide one a little bit later on. Okay, time of the kafta. Okay, so what happened was is that your animal was climbing on somebody's rooftop, jumps off the rooftop, lands in somebody's property and on somebody's kalim, and you are now going to be high full liability because that's regal, and it's normal. Okay, that's what we learned in the Mishnah, the first part of the Mishnah. The Gemara starts off, Tamo de kafto. So the reason why you are going to be high is because your animal jumped on naflo. But let's say your animal fell, so potter. So then you, the owner of the animal, are going to be potter. Meaning that the animal did not jump intentionally, deliberately, but rather the animal fell. And the fall of the animal was awkward and uncontrolled and falling under the category of ones. And we know that when it comes to damages, ones, so there's a patur ones. Now, I say that, right, we'll talk about a person who does damages and whether or not there's a patur ones. And we're going to be discussing it. It's coming up pretty soon. Gemara Daf Chavav. But anyway, but the point is that if your animal does damages, but it's bederech ones, so then you're going to be potter, right? So the Gemara says, Amakasavit chalasa bepshia besof of ones potter. Now the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Okay. All right. This is a concept that comes up numerous times. Today's daf, the beginning of today's daf. Here we have it. I'm just giving a simple analogy to understand this. And that is that, let's say, a child, any one of our children, act in a reckless behavior. But then, after acting in reckless behavior, what happens is that they tripped, they fell, and they hurt others, they hurt themselves. So, what do you, the parents, say? So, I'll give you my classic line. Well, in other words, you were behaving reckless to begin with. And what do you want to say afterwards? At the end, it came ones? This is classically... In other words, because of your original reckless behavior, I understand you did not intend at the end to do the damage, but nevertheless, because your original behavior was reckless, that's chilaso bipshia and sofa bonus. Now, what do we say by chilaso bipshia and sofa bonus? I'll tell you what, we say it's a machlokas. The Gemara has a long-standing debate whether or not someone is going to be liable for chilaso bipshia. So over here, the Gemara wants to know, the animal was climbing on somebody's roof. That is reckless behavior on the part of the animal. That's chilasa bipshia. That's negligent behavior. What are you doing allowing your animal or somebody, right? I'm sorry. What are you doing allowing your animal to climb on somebody else's rooftop? So the animal fell. Okay, but that's chilasa bipshia. Meaning the way we started the story is by gross negligence. So, the Gemara says this is chilasa bepshia v'sofa ba'ones, and what the Mishnah is telling us is that potter. Okay, I understand it's a chiddush, but that's exactly the point of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah limits the liability to only when your animal jumped off the roof. But if the animal fell off the roof, that's ones. Despite the fact chilasa bepshia. Tanya nami hachi akel vagidish kaf tamir roshakav v'shav v'zakel mishalim nezik shalim nafla peturim. Now, we quoted the Braisa, and the Braisa is making exactly the same point. So why are we quoting the Braisa? Because in the Mishnah, we had to be medayik in the Mishnah. In the Braisa, it says it befeh malay. Good. So, hanich lamandamer tchilasa bepshia v'sofa bonus pater lamandamer chayv maikel amemar. So the Gemara says, good. Now, as I already pointed out, there are two schools of thought on this particular topic. And tchilasa bepshia v'sofa bonus, so some say pater and some say chayv. So if you happen to be the school of thought of patur, so then you're right now extremely comfortable, because the Mishnah and certainly the Braisa are rubber stamping your point, right? That's it. But if you're of the position that Tchilasa B'Pshia V'Sofa Bonus is Chayav, so what are you going to do with that Mishnah? And certainly what are you going to do with the Braisa? Because they seem to be giving examples of Tchilasa B'Pshia V'Sofa Bonus, and the Mishnah implies it and the Braisa says it, and you are going to be Potter. So if you're of the school of thought of Chayv, so what are you going to do? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what you have to do. Kigon de mekarvi kelem legabi kosel. De chikavse bekvitza lo nafli alayhu. So I feel it's chalasu bepshia leka. So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you what. What we're going to have to do is that we're going to have to create a new kimta in the Mishnah and in the Braisa as well. And that is that where were the kelem placed? So in the Chatzar and Izak, but directly next to the wall, proximate to the wall. That means to say that had the animal jumped, the animal would have jumped across and not on top of the kelim, and no damage would have occurred. So now with the nefila, it's going to be putter, because had the animal done what it was supposed to do, i.e., jump, there wouldn't have been damage at all. So this is not chilasa bepshia. In other words, what should have happened had the animal not fell is that the animal would have jumped across, no damage whatsoever, no liability whatsoever. So there's no pshia to begin with. And now that the animal fell, this is just ones, plain and simple. And you're going to be potter by ones. Okay. I'm Rav Zin Mishman, Derava Pamim Afilu Naflu, Namichayav. Okay. The Gemara says like this. Sometimes nefila will result in chiyuv. Now, I know the Mishnah implied that you're not chayuv, and I know the Braisa says that it says explicitly that you're not chayuv, but Rav Zid says sometimes, even when your animal's on a wall and it falls, you're going to be chayuv. How so? So, I feel enough when I'm chayuv, mishkachla, because of re'ua. So, let's say the wall is shaking. So, my new, the bailei lasuka daitid, the nafal arche. So the and what should have been taken into consideration is that whoever the owner of the wall is, in other words, the wall's dilapidated. It's coming apart. So even before the animal climbed up on the wall and fell off the wall, meaning there are going to be bricks that are going to be falling from that wall as well. So the Gemara says, okay, I understand, but when all said and done, the bricks didn't fall. It was an animal that climbed the wall and the animal fell. And again, I understand that the animal's fall is based on the dilapidated wall, but it wasn't the bricks, it was the animal. So the Gemara says, Chilaso bipshia v'sofa v'onesu. So the Gemara says, yes, look, it started off as negligent. Climbing on walls, especially when they're dilapidated, so that's negligent behavior. But with them, when all said and done, the animal fell. So that's chilaso bipshia v'sofa bonus. And again, there is a school of thought that you're putter. So the Gemara says, lotricha b'kosel tzar. So the Gemara says is that what we're describing over here is that not only is the wall dilapidated, but on top of that, it was very thin. It was very narrow. And because it was so narrow, so even the animal falling is considered an act of gross negligence. It's not considered ones. And that's why under those circumstances, you're going to be chayiv. Okay. So what we just spent our first part of today's daf going over is that when your animal jumps and lands on somebody's kli in their property, you're going to be chayiv. That's shein, sorry. That's regel, and that's really clear. And the Gemara just entertained for more than a minute is what happens if instead of the animal jumping off the wall, the animal fell off the wall. So that's ones, right? Yeah, but the animal climbing on the wall, that's pshia. So that's tchilas b'pshia v'sof bonus. And what do we say regarding liability of tchilas b'pshia v'sof bonus? When all said and done, it's a machlokes. And now you have to take two considerations in mind, which is that some say chayv, some say pater. And then what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to go back to the Mishnah and learn the Mishnah based on whichever position you're taking. Tanu Rabbanan, we're on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. We are at the very bottom of the Amud, four lines from the bottom. So let's say I have animals, specifically dogs and goats, and they're jumping upwards. In other words, from a low plane to a higher plane. So then the owner is going to be putter. Now, putter over here means, says Rashi, so putter from Nezek Shalim. In other words, this is unusual behavior on the parts of these animals. And as a result of that, it's Mishuna. And as a result of that, you don't pay Nezek Shalim. Now, what we also know is that for unusual behavior, damage is done via unusual behavior. So we know that files under Karen. We know that you have to pay Chati Nezek. So, but the Brisa says Pater. And again, what we're going to have to assume, Rashi says this, is that what Pater over here means is that Pater from Nezek Shalim. But you do have to pay Chati Nezek. Milamal Lamata, but if jumping down, that's perfectly normal. Chayavin. And so that then the owner of the animal is going to be chayv. That falls under the category of regal, and regal is muad, and therefore you have to pay full nezek. Adam v'tarnigol shadil go beimalamata lamata beimalamata lamala chayavin. Now, when it comes to people and when it comes to birds, specifically chickens, so now jumping and hopping. So over here there is nothing unusual. People are going to be jumping up, down, down, up. From a higher plane to a lower plane and the opposite. And the same thing is true with the chicken as well. Okay. So now as far as Adam is concerned, so keep in mind, again, this is a Mishnah coming up on Chavav, right? One of the centerpieces of the Masechta, and that is Adam Ur La'olam. Meaning that when it comes to a person, so there's no such thing as Tam versus Muad. Whenever a person, you or I, were to do damage, Adam Muad La'olam. So it gets the full liability right away, even if we do it in quote-unquote an unusual way. So even though the chicken and the person are lumped together in the same brisa, but it's not exactly the same point. Meaning when it comes to you doing damage and I doing damage, Adam Muad La'olam. So our full liability starts immediately. On the other hand, when it comes to a chicken, so now you have to assess. Is this normal? Is this abnormal? So when it comes to jumping, so chickens tend to jump either from high to low or low to high. Either one of them is considered normal and therefore falls under the category of regel, and therefore there's full liability. Okay, good. Ve'atanya, we're on the top of Chav Beis Amud Aleph. So we learned in a brayse kel vagdisha dilgo beim lamata lamala peturim. So here in this brayse, a jump done by a dog or a goat, so is going to be putter, and it doesn't matter whether it goes from up to down or down top. So tirgamara papa bida apich mepech. So Rapapa says, look, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to explain that Braisa. The Braisa was talking about not where it did normal activities, it did abnormal activities. The apich mepach, it literally flipped on its normal behavior, right? A 180 of what was normal. In other words, when it comes to a dog, what the dog was doing is that the dog was hopping, much like you see a goat hopping, okay? And what the goat was doing? The goat was scaling the wall. Okay, now, again, by the way, if I had more familiarity with these kinds of behaviors of these kinds of animals, I probably would be doing a much better job explaining the Gemara. But anyway, suffice to say, just to get a simple understanding of the Gemara. In other words, the Tanaim Amoraim, they understood what was normal behavior of these animals. And anytime the animal engages in abnormal behavior of what they normally... So under those circumstances, it no longer falls under the category of regel, and therefore there's not a liability, not a full liability. The Gemara just simply clarifies quickly, Yahachi Amai Peturim. So the Gemara says, Pater Benezek Shalom Vechayav Mechati Nezek. Okay, so quick correction or quick clarification, and that is that you don't have to pay full Nezek, but you do have to pay Chati Nezek because it's Meshuna. And it falls under the category of Karen, and you have to pay half damages. Okay. All well and good. All right. Now we get to the highlight of today's daf. Everything is the highlight, right? But over here, in terms of popularity, this is going to be an extraordinarily popular discussion. So, Kelv Shenatal Itmar. So, we're going to come back to our Mishnah. In other words, you saw what just happened. We cited the heading of the Mishnah, so you know structurally what's going to happen in our Gemara. Our Gemara is going to have a fundamental debate, and then what it's going to do is it's going to bring in our Mishnah to see which of these two fundamental positions can fit better into our Mishnah. But first, let's go over the fundamental debate. Itmar. Rav Yochanan Amar Isha Mishum Chitzo. So according to Rav Yochanan, fire is arrow. And Reish Lakish Amar Isha Mishum Mamon. No, and according to Reish Lakish, Esh is Mamon. Okay, so let's go over what we're looking at over here. This is very basic. We know that of the main categories of damages that a person can do and is going to be liable for. So one of them is a fire. Now, let's go over a fire. Right, yesterday, Baruch Hashem, I started a fire. Right, I grilled. Right, in honor of the, you know. So I grilled. Not that this is important for anybody, but, right, I do charcoal now. Okay, I'm getting old school in my old age. So I do charcoal. So yesterday I started a fire. Now, Rachmanus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should be Shomer. But in other words, if that fire were to spread into somebody else's property, so I'm liable. Okay, that part's easy, that we know. But here now comes the question, and that is that when that fire spreads, and I have that liability for that spreading fire, so that now is viewed as what? Conceptually. So according to Rav Yochanan, Eishu Mishum Chitzo, it would be no different than me shooting an arrow. Now, when I shoot an arrow, so that arrow now is a propulsion of my force. I generated, I created the force, and that arrow now is me, just basically, but via force. Oh, that's Rav Yochanan. Masha'enkin, according to Reish Lakish, no. You do not understand fire that way. Fire is not to be understood as a propulsion of your force, but rather, it's Isha's Mishum Mimono. It's your money. The fire spreading is no different than an animal of yours going into somebody else's property and damaging other people's property. Reish Lakish says the same thing can be said regarding fire. Fire basically now is your property. It's Nizke Mamon that goes out and does damages. Okay. Now, again, we could spend more than today's daf. We could spend a long time. Sounds like something that they would be learning in yeshiva and spend hours and hours discussing and deliberating, because it's such a meaty topic in terms of when the fire goes and spreads and does damage to somebody else's property, or for that matter, somebody else, which we'll discuss momentarily. So what is that organizationally, conceptually, according to Rav Yochanan, it's you and your force, and according to Reish Lakish, it's your money. Now look at Rashi over here, where Rashi writes the following. Nafkamina, practical difference would be the following. Rashi, Dibra Maschla Mishum Amono, third line down. Kishora Rabar Sheziko, according to Reish Lakish, it's no different than your animal doing damage. The Kasa Kadachadika Beinau Kagon Shilik Begachal Shena Shalom. The Rav Yochanan Chayv Dechetz Yohain. Ule Reish Lakish Pata Delav Mamonahu. Rashi over here, at this point, offers the following as an afkamina. Now, you already could see that, even according to Rashi, the Gemara is gonna withdraw and pull back on this nafkamina. But Rashi says, consider the following. Let's say I start a fire, but not with my coals, right? I go over to my neighbor's, and with his coals now I start a fire. So in other words, the fire is coming off of his property, not mine. So if it's Eishos Mishum Chitzo, like Rav Yochanan says, so what does that mean? Well, look, in other words, it's basically shooting an arrow, meaning ownership no longer becomes a relevant point. I'm the one who started the fire, regardless of whether it was on my property or not, regardless of whether it's with my property or not. In other words, according to Rav Yochanan, it's Mishum Chitzo, and therefore I'm going to be liable. But according to Reish Lakish, it's Mishum Mamono. In other words, if I'm lighting the fire with somebody else's coals, it's no longer my fire. Meaning because fire is a function of my property, it's no different than my animal doing damage as well. If it's not my animal doing damage, it's somebody else's animal doing damage. That's not my liability. According to Reish Lakish, if I start the fire but with somebody else's coals, that's his property doing the damage, not my property doing the damage, and therefore I shouldn't be liable. Now, that sounds rather amazing, and it's very, very hard to really to imagine. That just because I lit the fire using somebody else's coals, I'm now going to be a pata, I'm going to be exempt, which is at least at this point what we're proposing. That's a lot to imagine. Tosus over here takes issue with this suggestion of Rashi. See Tosus inside. We're going to go on in the Gemara. Okay. But it's obviously, there's a lot to consider over here. Reish Lakish, my time alamak, Rav Yochanan. Why doesn't Reish Lakish hold like Rav Yochanan? Amlacha, chitza mikocho kazli, haila mikocho kazli. So Reish Lakish's rejection of Rav Yochanan is really straightforward and really simple. Look, when I shoot an arrow, so literally that's force. In other words, I now created the force in the arrow, I pulled back on the bow, and now I generated the force, so that now when the arrow travels, it's traveling because of my force, and therefore that's me. But when it comes to a fire, am I throwing the fire? No, the fire is simply spreading. In other words, the fire is now finding things to latch onto, flammable material to latch onto, and the fire is going to be spreading. But I'm not the one who generated the force to spread that fire. So Reish Lakish believes that the comparison between fire and arrow is a false comparison because by arrow there's force and by fire there's no force. Rav Yochanan, my time alamak, Reish Lakish, and now let's go in the other direction. So Amlecha Mamona is be Mamasha and Halais be Mamasha. Now Rav Yochanan will not take into consideration Reish Lakish's viewpoint for the following, because when it comes to fire, so fire, is there Mamashas to the fire? Is it a concrete item?
No.
right. So I understand that the answer could be yes. But Rav Yochanan rejects that idea, meaning it's not concrete in which I can't pick it up. In other words, obviously it's real, it's physical, but at the same time, however, it's not like a chair, it's not like a table, it's not like anything where it has weight and mass and it's a solid. It's a gas. And even as I say gas, by the way, it's really hard to describe what is fire, but Rav Yochanan says, okay, I'm not telling you what it is, but I'm telling you what it isn't. It's not something which is solid and concrete. And your animal is solid and concrete, right? And therefore, when your animal does damage, okay, you're going to be chayv. But fire, it's not solid, it's not concrete. So if it's not that, so then therefore, what is it? Kocho. It's your force being generated. It's just simply a manifestation of the fire that you started. And therefore falls under the under kocho, and it's like shooting a fire. Okay, Tanan, we're going to start now with the deliberation. So we have now proposed two fundamental fundamentally different viewpoints in terms of how to view fire. Is fire kocho? Is fire is fire mamono? According to Rav Yochanan, it's koach, and according to Reish Lakish, it's mamono. And from this point going forward, what we're going to do is we're going to debate and deliberate using various mishnayos throughout Shas, or really it's going to be based on various mishnayos here in Baba Kama. Because what are we talking about? We're talking about damages. Okay, I would be remiss if I did not mention, and therefore I will mention, and I will have less guilt going out of today's daf, and that is the question of the Nemuka Yosef. Of the questions that the Nemuka Yosef asks, this is by far and away the most popular, the most famous question that he asks. I'm just going to simply mention it, but once again, there is much discussion regarding it. Nemuka Yosef asks the following question, that according to Rav Yochanan, so when I'm lighting a fire, so what is it that's no different than shooting an arrow? Which means now that everything is going to translate back to that original force that I created. Meaning the spreading of the fire, according to Rav Yochanan, is basically nothing more than just a function of the force that I initially put into that fire, no different than shooting the arrow. Meaning, let's say it like this. According to Rav Yochanan, if I shoot an arrow and kill somebody, I'm going to be liable. Why? In other words, the arrow hit him well after it left my hands. I understand, but that's my force. It comes back to me. So according to Rav Yochanan, presumably, right, I'm setting ourselves up for just a moment from now, a couple of minutes from now. If I start a fire and that fire kills somebody, now that's a funnier way to say it, because in other words, what that person should have done is he should have ran away. Right? Unlike an arrow where that he doesn't really have the option, but the person should run away. But if I started the fire and I killed somebody, so I, according to Rav Yochanan, that I should be held liable for murder. Right? According to Rav Yochanan.
If you're sleeping on the ground.
Okay, good, 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 good. Perfect, perfect. It's coming up. So the Nemuka Yosef says, so if that's true, according to Rav Yochanan, so now what am I going to do? So I'm going to light Shabbos Licht. Right? Which is, right? Baruch Hashem. In Mirz Hashem, so before sunset tonight, we're going to be lighting Shabbos Licht. And not only are we going to be lighting it, we're told to do so. Meaning it's a mitzvah to light Shabbos Licht. As per the Mishnayos and the Gemaras and Shabbos. The Mishnayos and Shabbos spend a perek talking about the best materials to use for lighting your Shabbos Licht. According to Rav Yochanan, so you're lighting before Shabbos. Why? Because you can't light on Shabbos. Because lighting a fire on Shabbos is going to be aser. So the Nemuka Yosef says, oh, but let me understand. So I lit before Shabbos, but now the fire that continues and perpetuates, now what? It's all attributable to my original action. And if that's true, asked the Nemuka Yosef, so if I lit the Shabbos, if I lit the licht before Shabbos, so what? As long as the fire continues and it's Nimshach on Shabbos, that is attributable to me. I'd be liable for murder, theoretically. I'm absolutely liable for Nezik, practically. And so over here, shouldn't I be also be liable for lighting a fire on Shabbos, even though I lit it before Shabbos? Okay. Now, you know this question is a klutz kasha. Klutz meaning that there has to be an answer to this question, because we know that there's a mitzvah to light licht before Shabbos. But, according to Rav Yochanan, how do you understand that? Good. So, I asked the question, Nemuka Yosef gives answers, and we don't have the time right now, so we're going to go on. But meanwhile, okay, water could do the same thing, yeah. But lighting a fire on Shabbos is a malach of Shabbos. So in other words, you are caught now between I'm lighting before because I can't light on. But according to Rav Yochanan, every continuous act of the fire all is attributable back to your original lighting. Okay.
And you say the same thing about water.
But water on Shabbos. In other words, I'm just right now focusing on the Shabbos issue, on the Nezik issue. Right. If you start the water, right. Well,
the tub overflows, it keeps damaging.
Right. Okay. Right. That's correct. Correct. Okay. Very good. All right. But. Yeah. So the okay. So the Gemara says Tanan. Okay. So we're going to go back to the Gemara, and we're on Chav Beis Amud Aleph, and here we go. So Kelev Shenatol Charara. So we have the dog who took the cake with embers of coal attached to the cake, going to somebody else's property and eating the cake and lighting the haystack, the other person's haystack on fire, and the multiple liabilities that you have now for your dog that's gone wild. So now the Gemara says, Bisham Laman Dami Shomishim Chetzo. So the Gemara says, okay, so now I can understand all this much better according to Rav Yochanan, says the Gemara. Why? Because Chetzo Dekelav Hu, meaning, let's take the following into consideration. The full liability for the eating, for your dog consuming the your neighbor's cake, that's Shane. That's easy. And what about the fire? In other words, because what your dog did is he took the ember and he spread the fire. Ah, but if he shows me Shem Chitzo, so now you understand that the spreading of the fire now falls under the category of Tsraros. And what do we know regarding Tsraros? Tsraros, you pay Chatzi Nezek. So I understand the Mishnah according to Rav Yochanan. But El Laman Dami Shem Mamono, Hare Eish Lav Mamono Debal Kelevu. So the Gemara says, but if Isha is Mishum Mamono. So the Gemara says, so here's what I don't understand. What I don't understand is that your dog took somebody else's cake. Now the embers attached to the cake, were they your embers? No, they weren't your embers. They were your neighbor's embers. Ah. So how can it be that you, the owner of the dog now, are going to have the multiple liabilities? Meaning if Isha is Mishum Mamono, is that Isha your property? No, it's not your property. It's your neighbor's property. So in other words, you should be liable on the cake because your dog ate the cake, but on the fire that was spread, your neighbor should be liable because that's his fire and therefore his liability, according to Reish Lakish. It's a strong question. So I'm the Reish Lakish, and Daduye. Okay. So what Reish Lakish will tell you is that you're not properly seeing the case. Let me help you in terms of seeing the case. What happened was is that the dog took the cake and threw the cake onto the haystack, and then ate it there. So now, so as far as the eating of the cake is concerned, so that we're not going to move on that. That's shame. That's easy. Now, as far as makom gachelas mishalem chatzi nezek. So in other words, remember the way Reish Lakish is describing the cake is that the animal threw the cake and that with the embers on it. So the throwing of the cake, so that falls under the category of Tsraros. Okay, and now Al Gdish Kula Pater. Now on the direct area that was burned by the embers, so that's Tsraros, and you're going to be Chayev. Now the fire is going to spread. On the spreading of the fire, so now you, the owner of the dog, so you're going to be Pater Lagamre. Now that is an interesting way to look at the Mishnah. It's a little bit strange because the Mishnah is actually missing an important piece, which is that you, the owner of the dog, are not going to be liable for most of the haystack. You're only going to be liable on the one area where the ember was actually thrown. But on the remainder of the haystack, you're going to be potter. And it is admittedly a little bit strange, a little bit unusual, because the Mishnah did not mention that, what is a pretty important detail. But according to Reish Lakish now, so how do you understand the case of our Mishnah? So again, Reish Lakish says is that Isha's Mishum Amono. And so what happened is that your dog took somebody else's cake with embers attached to it. Again, the embers don't belong to you. What your dog then did is that it threw the cake. I'm just reviewing because I know this is complicated. It threw the cake into somebody else's haystack and then went over to that area, ate the cake. And as far as the embers are concerned, burnt a hole where it was thrown, and then the fire spread. And according to Reish Lakish, let me just finish the review. And according to Reish Lakish now, on the cake that was eaten, that's your dog eating it, that's Shane. On the direct area where the ember was thrown, so that's Sororos. And that's why you're Chayv Nezek. Chatzi Nezek, I should say. And then on the spreading of the fire, well, that wasn't your ember, and therefore it's not your Eish, and Isho's Mishum Mamono. So on the spreading of the fire, so the owner of the ember is going to be liable. You're not going to be liable. That's according to Reish Lakish.
If you threw the cake on right away and the ember's lit, how can he eat the cake? It goes to fire right away.
Okay, right. I know that part's strange. In other words, I'm not as worried in terms of the Metzius as I'm just going over conceptually. How do you explain all the nezek that the Mishnah is describing? But I hear you. From a Metziah standpoint, it's a little bit strange. Before Tashma, Rev Yochanan. So, and as far as Rav Yochanan is concerned, the anche enuche. So Rav Yochanan will tell you that no. In other words, I disagree. In other words, what the dog did is the dog took the cake with embers attached to it and placed it on the haystack. Now, al chararava al makom gechals mishalim nezek shalim. So again, on the cake and on the direct area underneath where the embers where the dog placed it. So now you're going to be paying nezek, and what kind of nezek you're going to be paying nezek shalim on the cake that was eaten that shein. In other words, and on the direct area under the foot, or I gave it away. Under where the gechel is actually lying, that's regal. Now, ala gedish, mishlam chatzi nezek. Now, on the gedish itself, so there you're going to be paying chatzi nezek. So, in other words, why? Because again, ishos mishum, according to Rav Yochanan, ishos mishum chitzo. In other words, that is force. Who is creating the force? Not you, your dog. Your dog creating force, what does that fall under? What category does that fall under? Tzraros. And therefore, you're chayv chatzi nezek. Okay, good. So over here, based on the fundamental different viewpoints of Rav Yochanan versus Reish Lakish, in terms of how to understand Eish, so now literally you're going to have two different ways of explaining our Mishnah, Tashma. Okay, and what we're going to be doing now for the remainder of today is that we're going to be going through an assortment of Mishnayos. I told you, they're going to be all Baba Kamas, which makes sense. In terms of, we're going to have cases of spreading a fire and liability, and we're going to see which of these two positions, Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, is a more defensible position. So over here, this is a Mishnah coming up later in the Masechta, Samech Bei 62. So we're in 22. Okay, 40 days from now. So Gamotam Pishnam Vavar Birshos Harabim. So what happened was is that you have a camel, your camel's walking through the Birshos Harabim, and what is your camel carrying? Flax. Flammable flax. And Nichnas Apishan Latochanos. Now, there's a store right by the street. Right? Whenever I see this Mishnayos, I just think about walking through Mea Sha'arim, right? Where basically there's this really narrow street and there are buildings on both sides, and just it's so easy to envision this happening. And so now, as the camel's walking, so Nichnas Apishan Latochanos. So its flax now goes interior to any one of the stores. Vidalka Maner Shachan Vani. Now, in his store, he had a fire, but in other words, it was in his store. And now the owner of the camel, with the load, encroached into the store, and now the flax is on fire. Hidlik es abira. So and now, spreading the fire. The camel, with its flammable flax, is spreading the fire. So, baal gamel chayav. So now the owner of the camel is going to be chayav. Because what happened was is that the fire, it's true, that the fire was started by the chenvani, but in his store. And it was the camel who encroached into the store. So therefore, the owner of the camel is going to be chayev. Hinei chenvani neiro b'chutz, so chenvani chayev. Now, what if the chenvani had his fire, but it was outside of his store, for whatever reason, doesn't matter. So that is called negligence on the part of the chenvani. Now the camel is walking, and the flax on the back of the camel caught fire and spread the fire. Now the chenvani is going to be responsible because the chenvani was negligent in terms of where he placed his fire. His fire was in the street. And Rabbi Yehuda Amar Nebner Chanaka Pater. Now it happens to be that if you're lighting fire outside of your store, because let's say, for example, it's Chanukah, and there's a mitzvah to light outside the front of your house, or in this case, outside the front of your store, so now you're lighting the Chanukah lech, and you're doing so berishus. You're doing so with permission. It's a mitzvah to do so. So now you're going to no longer have the liability. Okay. You heard me discuss this before. This is a classic topic of discussion, and that is Chanukah. Right, there's a coming up just a couple weeks from now. So there's a mitzvah to light a menorah to light the Chanukiah on Chanukah, right? As per the Gemara and Shabbos. And the and where you're going to be finding all the halachas regarding the Ner Chanukah. So I'll tell you where you're not going to look. You're not going to look in a series of Mishnayos. There are no Mishnayos and Shas that discuss the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Okay, and that's really strange. Meaning Purim, which is obviously a yant of Midrabanan. So we have an entire Masechta dedicated to the halachas of Purim. All right, there are four prakim. Truth of the matter is if you learn the Masechta, you know that two of them have to do with Purim, two of them do not, but still, doesn't matter. In other words, a Masechta dedicated to the halachas of Purim. And where's your Masechta dedicated to the halachas of Chanukah? Ein kan, Masechta. There simply is no Masechta. There are a couple of Mishnayos throughout Shas, spread out throughout Shas, that make reference to the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, but there's no Masechta. Okay, I'm going to ask another really big question today. Right, I touched on the Nimuka Yosef. Ask another really big question. How come there's no Masechta on Chanukah? Right, it's a really big question, and there are a lot of suggestions that are offered. Anyway, just I dropped it. I'm going to run, but it's a lot to think about. Over here, the Mishnah Baba Kama on Samach Beis. It's an unusual location to have a reference to Chanukah, but you understand. In other words, in the Masechta, talking about Nezek, and you're lighting a fire outside in the street where people are walking by. What's the liability? Rav Yehuda says there is no liability. Okay. Anyway, but okay, good. There are answers. Okay. But meanwhile, the part that we got to zoom in on is the camel and the flammable flax on the back of the camel that caught fire, and the fire now is spreading. And now let's see. So the Gemara says, so now I understand, according to Rav Yochanan, all this works out really good. So in other words, how do you understand Eish is a force and Chitza de Gamalhu? And now when the camel goes and spreads the fire, lights somebody's house on fire, so now as far as the owner of the camel is concerned, so he's going to be liable. And what is he going to be liable? He's going to be liable for spreading that fire. Now, spreading that fire, again, who spread the fire? The camel. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, this is force-driven. And if it's force-driven that was generated by an animal, so we got a category for that. It's called sraros. Oh. And so therefore, you're going to be liable. Now, mind you, by the way, an important point that the Mishnah doesn't say, what level of liability, how much liability? Chatzi nezek. Because sorry, it's only chayv chatzi nezek. But at least you understand that there is a liability. But ella mandamer mishum mamono, hay eish la mamono debal gamohu. Oh, but mamono, impossible to understand. Impossible. Why? Whose fire was it? It was a fire that belonged to the store owner. And now that fire spread to the camel. And it's true the camel encroached into the storefront. That part's true. But still, it's not the camel's fire. In other words, if Isho's Mishum Mamono, and it's a function of your property going out and doing damage, it's not the camel's property. It's the store owner's property. So how do you understand the Mishnah when the Mishnah now is assigning fault and liability and blame to the camel? It's not the camel's fire. And it's not the owner of the camel's fire. So how do you understand liability? That is a strong question. So Amrish Lakish, Achabem Maizkin, Abem Masach Zeches, Kol Abira Kulan. So the Gemara says, here's what you're going to have to say. Okay. If the fire spread, okay. So that's obviously is something else. We're not talking about a spreading fire. Here's what happened. The camel who's on fire. I know that's a funny sentence, but that's literally what we're saying. The camel who's on fire. In other words, the camel's carrying flax on its back, and the flax right now currently is on fire. So, if the fire spread, so what Reish Lakish will tell you is that spreading fire is mamono. But that's not what the Mishnah in Baba Kama is describing. It's describing where your camel now is literally making contact with all parts of the house. The camel is walking around the house, directly spreading the fire from its back and the flammable flax over to the walls of the house. That's what's going on over there. When we have direct contact, even Reish Lakish will tell you, that's not Isho Mishum Mamono. You know what that is? That is direct damage that's done by your animal. Let's call it rego. In other words, that's direct. And even Reish Lakish will tell you that there, it's not a function of Mamono. That's literally your animal doing damage, and that's why you're going to be chayev. Okay, so the so the Gemara says, great. Now, so the Gemara says, now, what happened when the chenvani took his fire and left it outside of his storefront, and now the camel caught fire, Again, the flammable flax on the back of the camel caught fire. Now what? So then the Mishnah went on to say that the store owner is going to be chayav, but not the camel, not the owner of the camel. And the Gemara says, here, I don't understand. Meaning, if we're talking about sichsuch, where the camel is rubbing up against the house with its back on fire, so now that is direct damage done by the camel. And therefore, the owner of the camel should be chayav. So the Gemara says, Bisha Amda. So the Gemara says, the animal stopped. So the Gemara says, Amda v'sichsuch koshekin dechen vanipata v'ubal chayav. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? If the camel stopped, and now just with a load of flax on fire on the back of the camel, camel walks by, past the house, but you know what? Decides, you know what? I'm not going to walk. I'm going to stop. And now the fire is going from the back of the camel to the house. And again, it's direct contact. And so therefore, in other words, and now you're going to suggest to me that the Baal Chanus is going to be chayav? The owner of the camel should have the full liability over here. I'm Ravuna Bar Menoch, Mishmei Ravika, Hakamai Maiskin, Kagon Shamda, La'at Lahato Meimeha. So the Gemara says, yeah, I know, but you know why the camel stopped? The camel stopped. Not because of any kind of deliberate or intentional damage, but rather because it had to stop in order to relieve itself. It needs to urinate. So the Gemara says, Lahato Meimeha. And I'm sorry, and let me just finish the thought. And as a result of that, in other words, this is something where nature calls and the camel just simply had to go. And because it had to go, so therefore it stopped walking. And so this falls under the category of ones. Okay. So now that ones is going to exempt the owner of the camel, so now the liability moves over to the shopkeeper. So the Gemara says, Reisha, Baal Gama Chayv Delo Yibay Leila Fusha Betina. And Seifa Chenvani Chayv Delo Yibay Leila Nuchin Erem Me'abrai. So as far as the Reisha is concerned, so the owner of the camel is going to be Chayv because, in other words, obviously, the way he loaded his camel was irresponsible, where the flax was coming off the sides and encroached into the storefront. So therefore, the owner of the camel is going to be liable. But in the second half of the Mishnah, where it was the store owner who left his fire outside, the store owner now is going to have the liability. So the Gemara says, okay, good. Okay. Tashma. Yeah, let's do a little bit more today. Right? We're going to go a little bit. It's already 8. It's okay. Okay. We're gonna finish it off. If you have to go, I understand. Okay, Tashma. Malik is a gedish vayegedi kafaslo eved samachlov and nisraf imo chayav. Okay, so this also is the Mishnah later in Baba Kama. This is samach aleph, right next door. So you light a haystack on fire. You light your friend's haystack on fire, and what there was a goat tied up right next to the haystack, and there was an eved kenani that was right next to the haystack as well. And not only did the haystack catch fire, but Rachmanus the goat and the Eved Kenani both caught fire and they died. So now the one who started the fire is going to be chayav. Now, Eved Kafaslo v'gidi samachlo v'nisraf imo pater. Now the Eved Kenani was tied next to the haystack and the goat was next to the haystack but untied. So now the one who started the fire is going to be pater. Now, let's understand all this and let's understand this really well. Okay, in case number one of this Mishnah, so what happened was that the Eved Kenani was untied. And therefore, despite the fact that the Eved Kenani died in this fire, so in other words, you're not going to be liable for the death of the Eved Kenani. Why not? Because he was not tied down. And because he was not tied down, what he should have done is he should have gotten up and walked away. The fact that he didn't, in other words, again, it doesn't exempt you from behaving in terribly negligent behavior. But in terms of the death of the Eved Kenani, if he was not tied down, so then you're not going to be liable. And because you don't have liability for the death of the Eved Kenani, so now all the monetary liability you're going to be chayav for. You're going to be chayav for the burning of the haystack and also the burning of the goat. That's property damage. And you're going to be liable for both. But in the second half of the Mishnah, where the Eved Kenani was tied down, and you started a fire next to the haystack, on the haystack next to the Eved Kenani, so now what are you on the hook for? You're on the hook for murder. You killed the Eved Kenani. And we have a rule throughout Shas of Kimle B'Darabimine. Kimle B'Darabimine tells me that if I do an action, and in that action I'm subject to two liabilities. One is harsher than the other. Beis Din can only get you for the harsher, not for the lighter. And because you murdered the Eved Kenani, so therefore you're going to be exempt from the monetary payments of the Gedi and the haystack. So far, so good. Now, Bishlam Alamanda Mishum Mishum Chito Mishum Achi Pater Alamanda Mishum Mishum Amona Amai Pater. So the Ilu Katal Tore Abde Hachanami Dola Mechayev. So the Gemara says, now this works out perfectly for Rav Yochanan. Meaning the conclusion we just arrived at, the way I just explained the Mishnah, so according to Rav Yochanan, it's literally perfect. Why? Because Eishu Mishum is Ish Mishum Chitzo. The spreading of the fire is no different than force generated when I shoot an arrow. So if I lit the haystack on fire and there was a tied up Evan right next to the haystack, so now the fire spreads through the haystack, burns the Eved Kenani on fire, and now you are a murderer. According to Rav Yochanan, it's pashut. And that's why the Mishnah says that when you commit murder, you're going to be pater from all the mammon, because of kimle b'derabimine. But according to Rav Yochanan, according to Reish Lakish, I don't understand. It literally doesn't make sense. Meaning, isho is mishum mamono. Isho, the fire that you start, is no different now than your animal going out and doing damage. Now, if it happens to be that your animal goes out and does damage and kills an Eved Kenani, so are you a murderer? No, you're not a murderer. Again, it's horrific, it's horrible what happened, but you are not a murderer. And so therefore, now you're going to be exempt from all the other financial liability. Of course you're not going to be exempt. You did not commit murder. So according to Reish Lakish, if Isho is Mishum Mamono, so you're no longer a Rotzeach, and because you're no longer a Rotzeach, why would the Mishnah say you're Pater from all the other Nizkei Mamon? That is a strong question. Amalecha Rebbe Shimon Malakish. So the Gemara says, okay, in defense of Reish Lakish, here's what you're going to say. So Achim B'Maiskin and Kishi Hitz is Begufo Shel Eved. Tikamle B'Darabi Minei. So the Gemara says is that according to Reish Lakish, what you're going to have to say is that when you started the fire, you didn't start the fire on the haystack, but in other words, the fire was placed right on the Eved Kenani. Even according to Reish Lakish, second time this morning we're making this point, even according to Reish Lakish, now we're going to say that's no longer Chitzo Mishum Mamono, that's no longer Isho Mishum Mamono, that is considered Biyadayim, and therefore you're a murderer. So the Gemara says, okay, I hear you, but now in this Ukimta that you just gave in that Mishnah, where's the Chiddush? I take a fire, put it directly on the Eved Kenani, and now I'm murderer, and on top of that, there's also mammon damages as well, and I'm going to be exempt based on the principle of Kimle B'Darabimine, meaning I don't need that Mishnah Baba Kama to teach me that point when all that is pretty straightforward. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the Chiddush is. The Chiddush is that the Eved Kenani is owned by one person and the Gedi is owned by another person. And I might have entertained that in such a situation, we're not going to say Kimle B'Darabimine. Right? A couple times throughout Shas, when the Gemara discusses Kimle, so the Gemara makes this point. And that is that even though there are two addresses for the murder and for the mamon, nevertheless, if both of those liabilities are coming in one action that you did, we say Kimle B'Darabimine. Tashma. Okay, let's do one more for this morning, and we'll finish this sugya. And that is, Sholeach es ha-be'ira, b'yadcher shot v'katan, patar b'dine adam v'chai b'dine shamayim. Okay, we've gone over this Mishnah already numerous times here in the Masechta, and we get to go over it again. And that is that you send a fire with cher shot v'katan. So you now, who basically handed a child a loaded weapon, the loaded weapon is a fire, and now this child went and spread the fire. So you now who handed it to him, so bidine adam, you're going to be pater. Bidine shamayim, you're going to be chayev. Meaning, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu after 120 years is going to have a couple words with you for this really negligent behavior. But midine adam, you're going to be pater. Now bisham lamanda mishum mishim chitzo. So chitzo decherishu. So the Gemara says, now according to Rav Yochanan, So I get it. Once again, it makes a lot of sense according to Rav Yochanan. In other words, the way that spreading fire is viewed is that it's generated force. Okay. You handed the coal over to the kid. So, and the kid spread the fire. So now, that is generated force. But who's generating the force? It's the kid who's doing so. That's why you yourself are going to be exempt from liability. At least be de adam. Again, what you did was so irresponsible, but I understand how there's not going to be any liability. But elamandar mishum mishumamono. But if isho is mishumamono, so then ilomaster sharu lecherishot vekatan hachinamidol mechayev. Now, according to Reish Lakish, where isho is mishumamono, so here comes a really strong question. Let's say it's my shore, and I say to the kid, "Hey, kid, go watch this shore for me," and then the shore goes and does damages. Am I going to be exempt from liability? There's no way I'm going to be exempt from liability. That's my animal that did damage. And the fact that I asked the kid to go and watch my animal, okay, that's not going to exempt me from liability. I expected the kid to watch it. No, the kid's not going to watch it. And it's true by a kid, it's true by a cherish and a shota as well. So the Gemara says, okay, so according to Reish Lakish now, I hand the fire over to a kid, and the Mishnah says that I do not have liability, but why not? Isho is mishumamono, and my money that does damage, I should of course be liable. So now the Gemara is going to say, in defense of Reish Lakish, here's what we're going to have to say. The Mishnah is talking about Nukimta, Elokishamasa lo gacheles, Viliba. So what you did is that you gave the kid coals. The coals right now were quieting down. And then, so what the kid did, and again, I say kid, it could also be cherish, it could also be shota. And what the kid did is that the kid lit it up. So now, based on the action of the kid in terms of making the fire, so now there's going to be a liability, but that liability is on the kid, not on you. Meaning you're going to be pater. That's the Mishnah. But if what you do is you hand over to the kid a shalheves, right? A coal that's on fire. The flame is right there. And now he goes ahead and he spreads. So that's bari hezeka. So that's something where it's so obvious now that the fire is going to be spreading and doing damage. And therefore, you're going to have that liability. You're the one who handed the kid the fire. Rav Yochanan amar afilu shalheves pater. And what Rav Yochanan will tell you is that no, is that even if what I hand the kid is a burning coal, where it's on fire, it's a flame. So you're going to be pater. Why? Kasav etzav sa decherish kagarim. So in other words, what he'll tell you is that the fact that the kid is holding the flame, so that is what's creating the damage. And as far as Rav Yochanan is concerned, so Adam Asole, Gavza, Silsa, Shraga. So over there, when you're going to be handing him the wood, the kindling, the actual flame itself. So under those circumstances, and only under those circumstances, is it considered that you went ahead and you basically shot the fire forward. That in that case, and only in that case, according to Rav Yochanan, are you going to be liable? Okay, ad kan, right? In other words, the Gemara is going to continue, but we are going to pause over here. Okay, this is a good stopping spot. Okay, let's quickly recap. Okay, your animal jumps off a building, lands on somebody's kalim, so you're going to be liable. What if the animal fell off the building? So this is chilasa b'pshia v'sofa ba'ones, right? A huge topic. Here in the Bavas, right? I think it's the first time we discussed it with any kind of detail. So anyway, Tchilasa b'pshia v'sofa ba'onis. Are you now going to be chayev? All right. It started as a pshia, started as negligence, but then it ended in onis. So does that create liability? Machlokus, major machlokus throughout Shas. We saw it in today's daf. If that's in fact true, what are you going to do with our Mishnah, where the Mishnah describes where the animal fell and you are going to be exempt? That's Tchilasa b'pshia v'sofa ba'onis. And the Mishnah says exemption. Okay, so that was part one of today's daf, and we discussed this big topic. And then most of today's daf started on Chav Beis Amud Aleph, towards the top of the Amud, and took us through the remainder of today's daf. And that is that when you start a fire and that fire spreads, and you're going to be liable, that liability is a function of So according to Rav Yochanan, Isham Isham Chitzo. It's like you shooting an arrow. It's your force that generated and created that continuous fire that goes, and your liability is no different than you shooting an arrow and killing somebody. It is Isham Isham Chitzo. Masha Enkin, according to Reish Lakish, Chitzo Mishum, sorry, I did that again, Isham Isham Mamono. In other words, it's basically your mamon. Much like you have an animal that goes out and does damage, and you are going to be you're going to be liable for that damage. Same thing with a fire that goes out and spreads. So you're going to be liable. It's your property. It's viewed as property damage. Your property doing damage. Okay. Interesting Rashi, the beginning of the sugya, where at least a proposal of what a nafkamina would be between the two. Right. As I pointed out at the beginning of today's daf, the simplest nafkamina would be the fire spreads and kills somebody. Again, it's more theoretical than practical because that person should have ran away. But in other words, if that fire kills somebody, according to Rav Yochanan, you are a murderer. Or according to Reish Lakish, it's your property. That's property damage. You're not a murderer. So that presumably would be a really big difference between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And then what we did for the balance of today's daf is that we cover the Mishnayos. Mishnayos in Baba Kama. Mishnas on Samach Beis, Samach Aleph. The Cheresh Shota V'Katan. Sorry. There's one more Mishnah. Cheresh Shota V'Katan. Nuntes. Okay. Okay, Samach Aleph, Samach Beis, Nuntes. Okay, would have been smoother if I could have just rattled that off without having to look back. But anyway, we had numerous Mishnayos, and those Mishnayos really sounded more like Rav Yochanan, less like Reish Lakish, but the Gemara defended. Mitzvah to defend Reish Lakish. So the Gemara defended Reish Lakish, and each one of those Mishnayos, the Gemara gave an ukimta in terms of how Reish Lakish would have to explain those Mishnayos. And by the way, right, let's not leave out our Mishnah. Meaning our Mishnah and yesterday's daf Chaf Aleph also you have to explain through the lens of Rav Yochanan and through the lens of Reish Lakish as well.